The following program is part of the Inner Circle Podcasting Group. Go to innercirclecomics.com for more high-quality podcasts.
Answer my question! The question, jerk!
Hey, listen, nerds. It's time for another Two-Headed Nerd Answer of the Week podcast with Joe and Matt.
Kids, my name is Matt Baum. I am one of the hosts of the Two-Headed Nerd comic book podcast. Sitting next to me is my good friend, Joe Patrick. Joe Patrick, say hello.
We're not that good of friends.
We're pretty good friends. We'll say we're quick acquaintances. Today, we're recording the answer of the week. It's real simple. It works like this. Every week, we post a question on the show. We've got a full-on dance party going on here. This is hot.
We should say that we are recording live at Old Comic-Con. It's the final day.
These people
don't care.
Put your hands together, folks.
They're partying like it's still day one.
All right. So here's how this works. Each week, we have a podcast.
All of these people skipped church today. All of them.
I skipped it twice. We have a show called the Two-Headed Nerd Comic Book Podcast. We do news. We do reviews. We do comic geek stuff. You would all love it. But we also do the question of the week, where we ask you guys a question. You can call us at our Google voicemail number, 402-819-4894, or you can send us an MP3 to twoheadednerd@gmail.com. Don't worry if you're not getting any of this, because I know you're all going to go download it, right? Yes, then you'll have that information.
Yeah, absolutely.
Not a resounding yeah, but at least two. So that's three more downloads.
Definitely going to do that.
So each week, Joe Patrick posts a question on the Two-Headed Nerd forums, and this week's question sounds like this.
Yes, this week's question came from Doc Flux of Feed It Comics, which is another fine podcast you should all check out.
Quality podcast, folks.
He's got a voice like velvet.
He really does. Not a pretty man, though, unfortunately.
He's got a great body, though.
He's got a great slamming body, don't get me wrong. But his face, if you know what I mean, huh?
He wants to know, who is the most depressing character in all of comic books?
We're going to get sad today. We're going to get real sad.
The saddest bastard
in comics.
We're
talking about comic book crybabies. I got a gentleman stepping up right here in front of me. So I'm going to turn the mic.
My name's Markel.
Hello, Markel. Welcome aboard.
Markel. And I think the most depressing character is Blade because of his backstory.
He has a very sad backstory.
His mom got eaten by a vampire.
His aunt died in a fire.
That guy's got it rough.
He comes from a broken home. That's hard.
I mean, he does have superpowers.
Blade was a latchkey child before that, single parent, you know? He never had a chance. Never had a chance.
That's a great answer, man.
Thank you. We got another one, another live answer here. So I want your name and then your answer, all right? Get right up on the mic. Don't worry. My feline AIDS is cleared up, so you should be fine.
It's all right, man. It's all right. I already had it twice.
It's the worst kind. Everyone knows it.
My name is Morgan Hines from Omaha Bryan High School.
Woo-hoo, no last names. Out. No last names.
No last names.
Feel free.
They're tracking us.
If you're not scared, feel free.
Morgan Hines, hit me up.
My phone number is.
I believe the most depressing character would be the Punisher because of his backstory.
Solid. Tragic.
Solid one.
Tragic.
The Punisher, depending on what you want to go, the comics or the movies.
He had a happy life.
Having a picnic with his family. So for some reason, a gunfight breaks out in Central Park.
It was a mob hit.
Oh,
they witnessed
a mob hit.
Because everyone knows if you need to kill somebody on the sly, you go to Central Park.
And open fire, right? You know? It's just laid low, low act. We're like, I want to keep this quiet, man.
You know, I still...
We're going to knock this family off.
I'm still holding out hope that guy's going to really turn it around.
The Punisher?
Yeah.
Recently, he was possessed by the ghost of Dr. Stephen Strange.
That was in Secret Wars, yes.
That was fun.
It was pretty great.
That
he wore a cape.
Thank you for your answer, guys. That was great. High five it. Let's high five it out, all right?
High five it.
We don't fist bump here. We're old school. We high five.
Right.
Enjoy the show.
Should we go to our first caller, or do we have someone else who'd like to step up to the mic with their answer? Dead. We got an answer coming here. I need your name first, and then your answer.
I'm Coral of Nacoral, and we say...
Coral has been our neighbor for this whole show, and she's put up with all our crap. And now tell us who you're with.
She loves Tom Petty.
Yes. Tom Petty forever. NacoralCrafts.com. We make handmade geeky art, and we say Spawn.
Spawn?
Yeah.
Spawn.
Al Simmons.
Oh, okay.
Al Simmons.
Okay.
Spawn. That's a great answer.
He made a deal with the devil.
Yes.
To be fair.
Which never seems like a good idea.
But when he came back to life, his wife married his best friend.
But yeah, well, you made a deal with the devil, dude. You know, like, let me ask you this. Would you make a deal with Hitler? No. Is Hitler the devil? No, he's not even that bad. But somehow in comics, everyone's like, screw it. What else do I do? All right, devil, I'm in. Let's go. It's terrible. Apparently. Deadpool and glasses? Do you have an answer? All right, he's stepping up. I need your name first.
My name's Darren, and today it's Deadpool. And I don't know. I think I'm going to go with Bruce Banner, just because, you know, I mean, yeah, he's just a...
You know, that sad music follows him wherever he goes.
Yeah, yeah, he's just not very... He's not very happy about his condition that he's got going on. So, I mean, that's what I'm thinking.
There's a wonderful supercut on the internet of all the saddest parts of the Incredible Hulk TV show. Oh, there it is. Oh man, let's all just feel this together for a second, shall we?
All right, that's about enough.
Oh man.
I felt it.
No, let's talk through it.
Yeah, all right.
So there's a supercut, and it's all the saddest parts of the Incredible Hulk TV show, where it's like the Hulk after he's finished smashing, and like the little kid is like, come back, and he's turning and walking away. Or like, what, you poor Bruce Banner, like walking down the highway alone. It's like 7 minutes long. You'll kill yourself. Don't watch it. It's so sad. That's an excellent answer. Thank you very much,
Thank
sir.
You, Deadpool.
You got an answer for us? Oh boy, here we go. I need your name first, sir. And he looks reputable. He works for Creighton Baseball, so.
My name is Patrick, and it's definitely right there, Captain America. Oh, man out of time.
There you go.
Man out of time.
His girlfriend's dead.
Everybody's dead.
Well, and, like, she didn't even, like, die. She just got old and died, you know? It wasn't even a tragedy.
She had a good run, though.
I will say, though, I feel like Cap deals with it very well. He's a go-getter. He's an optimistic guy, you know? Good answer, though. Good answer. Should we go to our first call?
Let's do it.
Let's go to our first call.
I just want to, I feel like every time we record live, I need to warn everyone in the vicinity that our first caller is a man from Maine named the Orca.
He's kind of a backwoods kind of guy. He's sort of a perverted Garrison Keillor. I think you'll like him.
And everything out of his mouth is completely inappropriate.
It's something, I'll say that.
So if you have children nearby, I'm really sorry. They're going to hear some stuff.
We're going to kick this up to PG-13 real quick, folks. Here we go.
Last week, I went all the way around Robin Hood's barn to answer the question, but this week we'll cut right to the chase. Every wife or girlfriend from either Marvel or DC for the better part of the last 3 decades. Doesn't matter who, take your pick. Enough with the whole wet blanket routine. Lois is worried about her invincible husband stopping a bunch of Metropolis's stupid villains. Hey, Lois. How about you give the fretting about your bulletproof husband a rest and start asking questions about the orphan circus reject who spends way too much time in a cave with 2 single older men? If you haven't noticed, old Bats has been through a handful of them over the years, and it never really ends well.
I feel like...
And I don't care how many times MJ says in her sexy voice, "Face it, Tiger, you've hit the jackpot." She undoes that whole masturbatory fantasy as soon as she cries after Peter goes off to stop Doc Ock. You're worried about that guy? Really? They had Alfred Fatass Molina to play him in the movies, and you think he's going to give Spider-Man trouble? Here in Maine, the women would root on their husbands if they were superheroes. Lord knows they do in bar fights. They'd be proud of their men and reward them sexually when they won.
There it is.
And if they happen to lose, the wife would go kick the bad guy's ass herself. Thankfully, Marvel is starting to take notice and give us better, more realistic female characters. It only took Bob Iger to say, "Hey, dummies, the quickest way to increase your dying audience is to start paying attention to the other 51% of the market."
It's true. It's true.
Give us more chicks like Adam Eve, who in a recent issue of Invincible told Mark that he had to go find Thrag and give him what he had coming, rather than doing the whole whining thing we've all come to expect. As always, Image and the true creative voices are leading the way, this time towards believable female characters that don't make us dread their panels.
That was a great call.
That was pretty good.
The Orca
says only sort of
every girlfriend
disturbing.
And wife ever from Marvel and DC. And I totally agree.
You know, I feel like Chris Hansen from To Catch a Predator is probably hiding somewhere in the Batcave.
That could be true.
He may have died in there, and that's why they never caught him.
He could have. You wouldn't know if there was a smell either, because the place is cavernous,
it's
man.
It's huge. It probably smells already.
Yeah, there's bats crapping all over the place.
Yeah.
But it's a good point. For the longest time, the women in the Marvel and the DC universe were wives and girlfriends, and all they did was go, "Oh, Peter, be careful," or they were Aunt May, and they just got in trouble all the time.
Hey, I'm sorry they show concern for their loved ones. Jeez.
Look at, we got Rocket Raccoon over here. I'm related to that raccoon. What is happening? Chris Kelly. We're going to go to another call here.
All right. The next caller is a wrestling fanatic himself, the legendary Black Scorpion the Three.
But tell him the story of Black Scorpion the Three.
Oh.
He included the origin of Black Scorpion the Three.
Yes. So back in the day, there was a mystery villain called Black Scorpion. He was all set to wrestle Sting in 1990. But he had all these henchmen, and they weren't named. They were like little clones, and they didn't have names. They were just like Black Scorpion number 2 through number 10.
Agents, if you will.
Yeah, agents of the main Black Scorpion. I assume Black Scorpion number 1. This guy's Black Scorpion the 3. He broke free, I guess. He emancipated himself.
Fair enough. Sort of like Virgil and the Million Dollar Man.
Yeah, right.
Right,
right, right. Right.
Nerds, I have to confess that usually I try and look for the correct answer to these questions instead of the one I'm actually most attached to. And while I posted the correct answer on the forums, I think the answer that haunts me the most about the most depressing character is not Pariah, it's Harlequin. Not Harley Quinn, but Harlequin.
Harlequin?
For those of you unfamiliar with Harlequin, she was a Golden Age villainess from the Injustice Society. And she fought the Golden Age Green Lantern, Alan Scott, for a long time. Through time,
she
they would end up being
him?
A couple, but in the series Underworld,
that's the
series that really has haunted me with how depressing things are. As it turns out, Alan Scott, because of his Green Lantern Starheart powers, he wasn't aging. He was still in his prime while she was an old woman in the 90s. And this caused a rift that she felt every day. Anyways, one day, as Neron, the devil character, ends up getting people to sell their souls for something, Alan Scott comes home to find his wife, now young again. And the interaction went something like, Molly, Harlequin, what have you done? And she said something like, I'm young again, we can be together. And there was something hollow, and you saw, I hope I'm not imagining this, but you saw like a single tear, fall down her face when
that's awful.
They're confronted with the horror that she had sold her soul to be young again for him, and it's hollow. Anyway, it deeply affected me, and that's the most depressing scene, and she had become the most depressing character in comics.
Oh, that's horrible.
Even though she didn't see lots of worlds fall apart, that moment was just so moving to me, and it haunts me to this day. That's it, nerds. Till next time.
I did not know Black Scorpion the Three had so many feelings.
Hey, that was probably the most impassioned...
he was feeling his feelings.
endorsement of Underworld Unleashed from 1997 or whatever. That was a really sad comic. But yeah, she sold her soul to Neron to be young again. But the instant it happened and they reunited, they realized that whatever part of her that made her... was gone now.
Again, and deals so with just, the devil. What are you doing?
Look, it never works out,
it
you guys.
It never works. The next time you ever deal with the devil, just say no, okay? It's coming from an atheist. You know you can trust that opinion.
Black Scorpion, thank you for your call, as always. He did dance around my own answer, but I'll get into that later. Next up, Jason Sachs. Comic book professional, comic book journalist,
comics bulletin.
And writer, comics
and
bulletin.
Historian,
yes.
Check out comicsbulletin.com. It's a great site. It's for brainy nerds like you guys. I can tell. You guys are smart. You both have glasses on. You're obviously brainy nerds, right? Huh? See, I know what's going on. And if you have an answer, feel free to step up to the mic. Don't be scared. Okay, then you got to do it for her. I want your name and your answer.
My name's AJ. My girlfriend Whitney said Batman as the most depressing. It's, yeah, orphan, you know? Yes. That's kind of a thing. So, yeah.
Not a bad answer at all. And no offense, pretty obvious answer. Okay? I'm just saying.
Hey, listen.
Just saying. How many times we've seen the pearls hit the ground and baby Batman goes, you know?
It's a damn tragedy.
Solid answer. Thank you very much. I'm sorry you were too much of a weenie to say it in the microphone, Whitney. All right? Thank you, AJ, for being a man. Appreciate it.
Let's go to Jason Sachs. Are you ready?
Ready.
Watch that treble. As usual, Morrissey sums it up when it comes to doom and gloom. How can someone so young sing words so sad? So my buddies and I are doing a team review for a comics bulletin of Crisis on Infinite Earths.
He's going to steal my answer.
And there's a guy in Crisis on Infinite Earths who my parents would call a Schlemiel. A loser. A guy whose life is nothing but endless torment. His name is Pariah. He's on the cover of Crisis on Infinite Earths number one, along with the Golden Age Superman and Firestorm, and some characters who you may or may not know. Kind of who cares about that, because he's there front and center, crying, lamenting, whining, moaning, groaning. And as you open up the comic, worlds are ending, worlds are dying, worlds are coming apart. And here's this guy who's whining, moaning, lament me. Don't you people understand there's no hope in running? Or maybe they do understand. They see their world fading, moving away before their terrified eyes. Oh, the sadness. Oh, the tears. World's end. And he's carrying all the conscience on his poor little pariah head. Poor pariah. Oh my God, it just makes me want to cry just thinking of the poor guy.
Wow, this is sad.
Pariah, his whole world is based on being sad. Thanks. Bye.
It's true.
Folks, we're lucky. We happen to have a Crisis on Infinite Earths expert right here sitting next to me.
Yep.
Joe Patrick.
Yeah.
Tell me about Pariah.
So Pariah was a scientist or a historian or something from somewhere off in space.
He's an alien.
Yeah. And okay. And he, from somewhere in the multiverse, and he created a window to the past to to kind of see the origins of the universe.
Okay.
And he stepped into his device, and he watched the origin of the universe unfold. And when he did, it kind of unleashed the power of the Anti-Monitor, who is the villain of Crisis on Infinite Earths.
So the exact opposite of what happened to Stephen Hawking.
Yeah, exactly.
Got it.
Yes, right. Right. And so as he witnesses the birth of the universe, the death of the multiverse begins, and Pariah's universe crumbles around him. But
so is it his fault?
He thinks it's his fault. He thinks he's cursed.
That's why he cries all the time.
And as a result of like the device he's using or whatever, he is kind of cursed with an immortal existence, and he just phases from universe to universe just in time to watch them crumble to nothing.
That is a sad story.
Yeah, but he's a real baby about it.
Well, I mean, come on. He may or may not have started all of this.
Looking back at it as an adult, I imagine that he sounds like Dr. Orpheus from the Venture Brothers. Like,
the universe crumbles around me. Don't go into the bathroom.
But yeah, Pariah, he sucks.
Okay, he's a big crybaby. He was going to be your answer, though.
Yeah, he might still be my answer. I might just stick with it.
All right. No one said mine yet.
Okay.
Nobody said mine yet.
Keeping it going, then.
All right, then.
Whoops, not that one.
You got an answer? We got an answer. We got another neighbor with an answer. Okay, first introduce yourself to the kids. Tell them why you're here, what you do, and then we want your answer.
All right. All right, guys. This is Axton Kaler of ZombieOaksComic.com. Tabling over here at the Tank Zombie Studios table with Jesse Kiefer of TankMonkeyComic.com. And my answer to the saddest comic book character in the history of comic book characters is easy. It's any character that's had the displeasure of being drawn by Rob Liefeld.
Ah! That's a zinger.
Mr. Liefeld is not in the building, so we can make those jokes. Woo!
I hope this doesn't get back to him. I know he's a fan.
Excellent answer, sir. Very meta as well. I like how you look right past, into the page, and then back to the creator. That was brilliant. Thank you.
All right. It's Elise Wisdom.
Oh, fun at Rob Liefeld's expense. It just doesn't get old, right? It just doesn't get old. And he's a sweet guy. If you follow him on Twitter, he seems like he's still 13.
He's
you know?
Very enthusiastic. he really loves what
he's
he
like,
does.
Yay, the Lakers are playing really well. You know, like, oh, Rob, settle down.
He's like, I just saw Mad Max, and it was great. Hello, listeners.
Oh.
It's Elise Wisdom. A lot of people have been asking about my whereabouts and my safety. They're concerned. I appreciate the concern. I do have kind of an amazing story to tell, but I need to keep it under 2 minutes. So Quick recap. I escaped the Ziggurat. There was a high-speed chase. I was running down the street as high of a speed as I could muster. And Joe was chasing me on a moped.
Wait,
Matt
what?
Was on his shoulders like some kind of Uber...
Like Master Blaster.
Kind of go. Thing. Joe threw Matt there. At me, much like a midget toss.
Fastball special,
he tackled
okay?
me. And he actually ended up letting me go. He took pity on me, my tiny captor. And it was such a heartwarming moment. Of course, he did implant a tracking device under my skin because, you know, relationships don't require compromises.
That was implanted years ago.
It's fine. I'm over it. Let's move on. My pick for most depressing comic book character is Abel from Cain and Abel in Sandman. If anybody has read Sandman, they might notice occasionally they have Cain and Abel in there, two brothers living together, doomed to forever live their lives with Cain murdering Abel. Cain is constantly murdering Abel, and then he just kind of reappears again, spawns back to life. I don't know what the deal is. And then is just murdered all over again.
I think
his only existence is to be murdered.
Respawns.
And he's just a stuttering, nervous, terrified mess of a human being. And it's awful. And every time I see him, I just want to push through it and get it over with and get back to seeing what Morpheus is doing. So yeah, that is my answer. Abel from Sandman.
Okay, before we get to her answer, the preferred nomenclature is not Dwarf Toss. It is Fastball Special or Little Person Fastball Special. All right? Just saying, our little people listeners out there, okay?
Us kidnapping her and holding her against her will enter the narrative? Like, where did that come into the story?
Okay, first of all, we did not kidnap her. She came and offered herself
to us,
all right? We obliged her needs.
I don't know if
that's all.
I don't know if that's better.
All right, and if that's wrong, I don't want to be right, okay? Abel is
very
a terrifyingly sad character.
That's a great answer.
Cain murdered him again and again and again.
Next up, radio famous Michael Sevier.
Michael Sevier was here.
Of the Bottom Line show from the Omaha World Herald. He was here in this booth.
Friday.
Yeah, he hijacked our booth.
From what I understand, they removed him. We got 2 days and he got one.
He's a real troublemaker.
Just saying, Mike.
He's a real troublemaker. Well, I'm sure this is going to be very complimentary towards both of us.
Oh, I'm sure.
Hey, Joe and Matt, it's Michael Sevier over at the Bottom Line at the World Herald. Now, I'm going to base this off of when I used to read comics and when I read them a lot, and that was the late 70s through the 80s. And for me, the most depressing, annoying, every time he talked or every time they had to reference him in the X-Men comics that I was reading, it annoyed me because he was such a whiny bitch. And it's Cyclops. Whether he's whining about his eyes and I got to wear these glasses or somebody's trying to take my girl. Oh, no, my girl's dead and now she's Dark Phoenix. Oh, no, my wife is. He was always whining about something. And when they would put him in charge for short periods of time back then, he would always screw it up because he could never make a decision. Why? Because he was a depressive, whiny, completely annoying character in the X-Men. Now, I admit, I grew up a Logan fan. I'm a big Wolverine fan, so they never really got along, but that's cool. There were several people who were very depressive or depressing in the X-Men. And it's because they struggled, I understand, with their youth and dealing with all kinds of things, and there was prejudice and whatever. Get over it. That's the way life is. Cyclops, now he eventually got over it, and I understand he's a better character now. But I like to point out, for a good stretch of time when I was reading the X-Men, for a good 13 or 14 years, he was a depressive SOB, annoyed the hell out of me. So that's my pick. It's Cyclops, at least the one from the late 70s and throughout the 80s. Just a depressive individual. And Joe and Matt, I like to say this. Dude, it's your show. You're both supposed to be there when you do podcasts. It's not that difficult. Matt's supposed to be there, and Joe's supposed to be there. I don't want to hear about moving or I got gigs or whatever else. Be where you're supposed to be. Do your damn show. I'm heading on vacation. Take it easy.
Michael Sevier from the Bottom Line show at the Omaha World Herald. He's a good buddy of ours. We love him. His show is fantastic. You should check it out. He says Cyclops.
Cyclops from the 70s and 80s is a real bummer.
He was a big crybaby for a long time.
His girlfriend died, and then he married a woman that looked just like his girlfriend.
Which was
weird. Then she turned into a supervillain, and then he went back to his girlfriend who came back from the dead.
Yeah, the whole thing was weird. He had a real thing for redheads for a while there.
Yeah, I'm just saying, you know what?
And then he got over it, and he's like, oh, you know what? I'm done with this. I'm walking away from Jean Grey. I'm going to start dating that bitch, Emma. I'm like, she's the worst. Emma is the worst. The White Queen is awful. There's no redeeming qualities about her.
It's true love, buddy. What can you do?
If we don't get to pick who we love. Isn't that right, Joe Patrick?
That's right.
That's right, buddy.
I just can't quit you. All right. The question asker himself, Doc Flux. Here we go.
Nice.
Hello again, you two-headed and I presume
like
several-limbed nerd. Doc Flux from Vita Comics back all up in your hizzy. Who is the most depressing character? Well, for the longest time, I surely would have said Matt Murdock because that guy's been through some stuff. But Mark Waid somehow managed to turn his frown upside down. So my choice should surely be something a little like Paul Chadwick's Concrete.
Ooh.
That's right, here's a guy, Ron Lithgow. He's an environmentalist, politically active, angsty, introverted, poetic soul who is the subject of an alien experiment that transfers his mind into an ungainly stone golem. He is left this way in a world with no other such freaks or superheroes or villains or anything like that to provide context. It's just him and his longing to be normal again and to be romantic with the lovely Dr. Maureen Vonnegut, knowing he'll never again have sex. He breaks furniture, vehicles, and infrastructure wherever he shambles and internally deliberates his sadness. He has a dog named Tripod who had his leg shot off by a farmer. He's like Sam Keith's The Max and Ben Grimm rolled into one, except he's not crazy enough to believe he has a higher purpose, nor is he surrounded by super scientists that could potentially find a cure, or any other monstrosities to make him feel better about himself. He may live forever to see the planet he loves so much decay and crumble under the wicked human pestilence. As a mutated curiosity yourself, you should understand his plight.
It's true.
You guys share the same digestive system and penis, for crying out loud.
It becomes a real problem sometimes.
Anyways, I will be catching you on the flippity-flop. I implore your listeners to stop by www.fetacomics.com for a different perspective. Now, if you don't mind, I'm going to go cry into my oatmeal.
I don't know if there is a sadder character out there than Concrete. I didn't even
That's
think
a really great
about
answer,
that.
Yeah.
Oh my God. That is depressing.
Doc Flux.
Paul Chadwick's Concrete. Wonderful, by the way. If you've not read it, you can pick up, there's collected versions that Dark Horse put out. There are those pocket versions, which aren't the best because they shrink everything, but you can get the whole story pretty cheap. Totally worth it. Concrete is a wonderful comic book.
Absolutely, check it
Beautifully
out.
Beautifully drawn by Paul Chadwick. Absolutely great stuff.
Do what the man said. Go to feeditcomics.com. Check out his show.
Great show. Doc Flux, our buddy.
Moving right along, it's Anthony from Brooklyn.
Anthony.
The guy.
That kid. Good looking kid, that Anthony. I'll tell you what.
He doesn't sound anything like that.
He doesn't. I want him to. I'm like, hey, do it, annoyed. It's Anthony.
Hello, Joe and Matt. Hello, listeners. It's Anthony from Brooklyn.
Such a disappointment.
I had a tough time coming up with an answer to this until I reread the question, and it says someone that's a real emotional drag. And for me, that's always been the X-Men. Maybe all of them. Their whole premise is depressing. I mean, they're protecting a world that fears and hates them, right? And society won't let them fully integrate because of that fear, and a lot of them look different. And there are mutant-hunting robots out there to kill them simply because they're mutants. It's all very depressing. Now, the depth of my X-Men knowledge comes from reading Chris Claremont comics. Now, I've read other issues here and there, but mostly from that. And his run is loaded with monologues about how depressing their life is.
Page after page.
Now, I'm not trying to minimize the mutant plight, but these are people who woke up one day with superpowers.
Very
good
looking
people who did nothing to earn their abilities.
Not all of them.
And seem to derive little to no joy from them. So, a note from me to the X-Men. Lighten up. You live in a mansion. You have an awesome plane.
Yeah.
Nightcrawler, I know you look like a fuzzy devil. That sucks. But you can cling to walls, disappear in darkness, your girlfriend is a magic-wielding stewardess, and you can teleport. Lighten up. Storm, you can manipulate the weather. Lighten up.
And you're a supermodel.
Forge, you can build anything. lighten up. And Logan, rest in peace, Holmes. But I know you can't remember a whole bunch of things about your past, and eventually you could, and blah, blah, blah. And I know that was rough to go through. But you know cancer? No, you don't, because you don't ever have to worry about it. Lighten up. So, X-Men, most depressing comic book characters. Thank you.
That is a solid answer. Disqualified.
That is a solid answer.
He didn't pick one character.
I'm giving it to like the multi-headed X-Men. I love it because he's right. They were always, oh, my life, and I can't be with my family. It's like, you can fly, dude. You get to hang out with Psylocke. She's gorgeous, you know? I mean, like, shut up.
But not all of
is
the...
Is there a single X person that you wouldn't have sex with? And let's just put our sexuality aside. Is there one that you would not sleep with? I'd sleep with all of them.
Marrow.
Even Wolverine.
Marrow.
Marrow got hot later on, though.
She's
remember?
Real sharp.
Yeah, but after every day, she got all sexy, you know? And she can control that. She can make her... boners, for lack of a better term, go away. You
they're,
know?
They're bones, Matt. They're bones. Now, you know, not all of the X-Men strike me as depressing. Like, I don't remember Storm ever walking around going, oh, woe is me.
No, she was a big crybaby about a lot of stuff. She totally was
well,
for
man,
a while there.
They're being, they are constantly being hunted by the government.
I get that, but I mean, still, really, you've got rad
maybe
powers.
Don't live in the same mansion that's very easy to find,
apparently. I'll give you Gambit, even though I hate him. I don't ever recall Gambit being, like, depressed.
He seems like a pretty happy dude.
I mean, like, he was bummed because his girlfriend was, you know, couldn't touch him and stuff. But, I mean, hey.
We've all been there,
we've all
right?
dated prude chicks. It happens, right? Come on.
Let's go to the Google voice line. This is the only call to come in on the voicemail.
The only call on the voicemail.
Everyone else sent actual digital recordings.
I appreciate
it's really
it.
Nice.
I love it because it sounds great. But, hey, we love it when you call us, too.
This is Danny from Iowa.
Oh, we know Danny's great. We love Danny.
Danny lives in this town. Is he at this convention?
Where is Danny? He
I
should
haven't
be here.
Seen him. He kept it under a minute, though.
I dig that.
Hey, guys, it's Danny, and I'm here to answer the question of the week. And I'm going to get right to it. All right, so I think the saddest character story is Daredevil. I mean, he ended up getting blind when trying to save a guy. His dad was kind of a B-list boxer, and it was hard for them to make ends meet. And then he gets killed for refusing to lose a rigged fight to prove honor and stuff. And then Daredevil had to grow up his whole life to fight for whatever he could. I mean, it paid off when he became a lawyer. And then he met Karen, and then she died. And she was killed with his own weapon, I think. And it's just kind of
That's
sad.
True.
And when I read the comic books of him, the colors are dark and dreary that just make you sad. And if you've read Daredevil Yellow, you realize how sad he is when he writes in that journal. So, that's my answer. Thanks, guys. Bye.
Daredevil. Matt Murdock.
That's a popular answer.
Well, there was a while where Brian Michael Bendis was just, like, running him through the ringer. Like, every time it looked like, oh, maybe I'll just sit down and have a nice lunch. No. No. Your wife went insane, and it's your fault.
Stilt man stepped on my lunch.
Yeah. Daredevil's a great answer.
Yeah.
He's a very, very, very depressing character. I love him. He's my favorite. He's probably my main Marvel guy, but very depressing.
Danny, thanks for the call. We love hearing from you.
Always good to hear from you, Danny.
Final caller. It's Toots time.
Uh-oh. Ladies and gentlemen, occasional guest host, Wooly Toots. You know him. You love him. It's Toots time.
Hey, guys. It's Toots time. This one's easy. Charlie Brown. That dude is a bummer.
He's a depressed dude.
Not only is he a bummer, everybody in the Charlie Brown Peanuts universe is a big time drag. They're totally mean to each other. They make fun of each other. They disappoint each other. They yell at each other. Bummer. I watched the Christmas special this last year.
I cry every time.
It's the last time I watch any Peanuts special ever. Now that I'm older, all I see it is super mega bummer. Everyone's mean to everybody. and then they go and try to push religion on you big time. So you know what? I'm over you, Peanuts. I'm done. You bum me out.
Toots with the Charlie Brown answer. And it's true. Charlie Brown, I can't think of any character that got kicked around more than Charlie Brown. Every one of his friends, including his dog, hated him. They don't hate
him. They hate him. They move the football and he tries to kick it. They talk down to him. The loser. Oh, man, he was going to a therapist that couldn't stand him.
I mean, Linus is pretty
nice.
He would
go to talk to Lucy. Yeah, but Linus is doing his thing. He was like an idiot savant on the piano, you know.
Okay, you know that Lucy is not really a therapist, right?
No, I mean, obviously, but like it was kid therapy. He would come and pay 5 cents and talk to her about his problems. And she'd be like, lighten up, Charlie Brown. You're such a knucklehead, you know. I can tell you, my therapist doesn't do that to me, okay? She's very sweet, all right? Yes, I'm in therapy for reasons that should be obvious.
All right, well, favorite caller then, I guess.
Favorite call. I got to go with Concrete.
Concrete's pretty good.
I got to go with Concrete.
Concrete is
that
pretty
is
good.
So sad.
If I had done my job and written them all down, I would be able to remember them.
You're not going to give it to Pariah? It was your stolen answer.
Yeah, you know what? I'm going to give it to Pariah. Jason Sachs.
He sounds like the universe's saddest dude ever.
He is the saddest dude in the multiverse. I'm just going to go right into my answer, I guess.
Yeah?
I think I might be sticking with Pariah.
You're going to stick with Pariah.
Because an immortal existence watching not only people or worlds, but entire universes collapse around you.
Which you may or may not have started.
Which you may or may not be responsible for.
But you feel responsible for, certainly.
It's a real, real bring down.
That's a bummer. That's a brutal bummer.
I was going to switch to Ben Grimm, but that's your answer, isn't it?
It was going to be.
I
was this close to Ben Grimm. Because Ben Grimm gets kicked around. All he does is get kicked around. His best friend, the Human Torch, is a total jerk to him. He falls in love with a blind girl.
Yeah, but you're a total jerk to me.
That's you're a total jerk back.
That's how it goes.
We have a jerk symbiosis, see? Yeah, you're like Peter Parker and I'm like the Venom costume. It's great. But Ben Grimm, he grew up, he like gets accidentally turned into a rock guy. Everybody makes fun of him. The Human Torch is constantly kicking him around. The Yancey Street gang will not leave that guy alone for no reason whatsoever. They're like pooping in bags and lighting it on fire on the Baxter Building front step, and the thing is, you kids, I'm gonna... You
know? I'm pretty sure they stick to Yancey Street, but yeah.
Well, yeah, but they mess with him all the time. But that's not my answer.
Well, then what is it?
My answer goes to the Swamp Thing.
The
Swamp Thing. Alec Holland. He was just a nerd. He was just a smart guy. He got sent to work on something because he was really, really good at it. And then they killed him because of it. But he didn't die. He blew up and became the Swamp Thing. And
or
the,
did he?
The saddest part of the story is when he didn't die and he came back as a Swamp Thing with all these powers and stuff, he found out he did die. He's actually a plant. He's not even human anymore. And he's in love with Abby, and they can't, like, do anything about it because he may or may not be some, like, avatar of the green.
Yeah, but
he never asked for any of this.
But he can grow those sex tubers.
He can grow sex tubers. And they made a baby that can control meat, which is really gross.
They made a freaky baby.
Man. Ugh, God. Weird little shock of white hair, and she controlled guts. It was disgusting. Alan Moore writes some sad, sad characters.
All right, there you go. The most depressing character in comics
Alan Moore.
Is Alan Moore.
Alan Moore. He's lonelier than concrete on this planet, I think.
Yeah.
I don't know what we classify Alan Moore as, but he's certainly not a human being.
He's the loneliest wizard.
The loneliest wizard. He's like, what was the show with the kid on the planet? All by The Little Prince.
Oh, The Little Prince, yes.
Yeah, he's on like a tiny little planet they could walk around. Oh, this was sad. This was so depressing.
I feel real great about it. Thanks a lot.
I know. Yeah. This is the one we picked to do in front of everybody, too. The sad show. That's great. Nice thinking, Joe and Matt. You did it again, two-headed nerd. Way to go. Folks, thank you for listening. Thanks everybody that stepped up to the mic and gave an answer. Thanks everyone that called in or emailed us an MP3. We love it when you do so. We don't have a show without you guys. We're going to have another Two-Headed Nerd comic book podcast coming next weekend. It will not be live from here because the Comic-Con will be over, which is sad. But we'll be back next year because I'm personally guaranteeing that there will be another one of these. And if there isn't, I never said that. So, before we can go, I need Joe Patrick to tell everyone what is next week's question of the week.
Should I just start over?
On a warm summer.
This week's question comes from Black Scorpion the 3. You heard him earlier on the show.
Met up
he says, quote,
we were
both too.
So I'm listening to The Gambler right now by Kenny Rogers. And I'm thinking, I'd like to see The Gambler as a comic book. So what completely non-comic book thing would you like to see adapted in comic form? And how would you imagine it?
I love it. I love this. So, like, it's got to be something totally bizarre.
My 1996 high school senior term paper.
The Divinyls' I Know What Boys Like music video.
Yeah, right.
For example.
Absolutely.
I love it. We're going to let Kenny take us out here. This is beautiful. Folks, thanks again for everybody listening and played along. We are the Two-Headed Nerd. You can hear us every week on iTunes, on the internet, and on quality podcast suppliers. You can also find us at innercirclecomics.com. A bunch of quality comic book podcasts there. Take a sticker, take a card, waste some time. We're great if you're sitting on the toilet not doing anything. You know, it's just fun.
It might even help.
Thank you to everyone. We will be back next week with another Two-Headed Nerd comic book podcast. For now, my name's Matt Baum.
My name is Joe Patrick.
This is the Two-Headed Nerd, signing off.
Impressive showing, losers, and in public even. This is Alec Baldwin, and I'd rather take a crap into one of my shoes and hike to Jersey than go to a comic con, especially one where these two dancing monkeys, Joe and Matt, were begging for nickels. If you'd like to answer the question of the week, you can leave Joe and Matt a message at 402-819-4894. Send your MP3 answer to twoheadednerd@gmail.com or leave a Skype message for the username twoheadednerd. Share the air and keep your answer under 2 minutes, please. And I'll have you know, I am the most depressed man in comics for having to do a voiceover for this piece of sh** podcast.
Time enough to count when the deal's done, you got to know.